Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I'm trying to work out if it's better with or without glasses.
Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, Chapter 22, Marriage of Kadama Muni and Devahuti, Text Number 7. Dishya Tvaya Nushishto Aham Kritas Chanugraho Mahan Apavritai Karna Randre Jushta Vishyoshatir Gira Vishyatvanushtitor Oham Kritas Chanugraho Mahan Apavritai Karna Randre Jushta Vishyoshatir Gira Dishya Tvaya Nushishtoham Kritas Chanugraho Mahan Apavritai Karna Randre Jushta Dishyo Shatir Gira Dishya Tvaya Nushishtoham Kritas Chanugraho Mahan Apavritai Karnarandre Jushta Dishyo Shatir Gira
Anybody else?
Dishya
Luckily
Tvaya By you Anushishta Instructed. Aham, I. Krita, bestowed. Cha, and. Anugraha, favor. Mahan, great. Apavritai, open. Kana Randrai, with the holes of the ears. Jushta, received. Dishya, by good fortune. Ushati, pure. Gira, words. Translation. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has given directions in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on how to accept a bona fide spiritual master and how to deal with him. First, the desiring candidate must find a bona fide spiritual master, and then he must very eagerly receive instructions from him and execute them. This is reciprocal service. A bona fide spiritual master or saintly person always desires to elevate a common man who comes to him. Because everyone is under the delusion of Maya and his forgetfulness of his prime duty, Krishna consciousness, a saintly person always desires that everyone become a saintly person. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man. Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kadama Muni, he was very much favored. He considered himself lucky to receive the message by oral reception. It is especially mentioned how here that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of the bona fide spiritual master. How is one to receive? One should receive the transcendental message by oral reception. The word Karna Randrai means through the holes of the ears. The favor of the spiritual master is not received through any other part of the body, but the ears. This does not mean, however, that the spiritual master gives a particular type of mantra through the ears in exchange for some dollars. And if a man meditates on that, he achieves perfection and becomes God within 6 months. Such reception through the ears is bogus. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness, and he instructs him in that way. He instructs him through the ear, not privately, but publicly. You are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. One person is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by working in the deities' room. Another is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by performing editorial work. Another is advised to do preaching work, and another is advised to carry out Krishna consciousness in the cooking department. There are different departments of activity in Krishna consciousness, and a spiritual master, knowing the particular ability of a particular man, trains him in such a way that by his tendency to act he becomes perfect. Bhagavad Gita makes it clear that one can attain the highest perfection of spiritual life simply by offering service according to his ability. Just as Arjuna served Krishna by his ability in the military art, Arjuna offered his service fully as a military man, and he became perfect. Similarly, an artist can attain perfection simply performing artistic work under the direction of the spiritual master. If one is a literary man, he can write articles and poetry for the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. One has to receive the message of the spiritual master regarding how to act in one's capacity, for the spiritual master is expert in giving such instructions. This combination, the instruction of the spiritual master and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple, makes the entire process perfect. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his explanation of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasatmika Buddhi, that one who wants to be certain to achieve spiritual success must take the instruction from the spiritual master as to what his particular function is. He should faithfully try to execute that particular instruction and should consider that his life and soul. The faithful execution of the instruction which he receives from the spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple, and that will bring him perfection. One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. Translation again. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Omagyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshulumilitam Jina Tasmaishi Guruve Namaha. So this process of learning anything is always that there has to be a teacher and there has to be a willing student. And in the art of teaching, Bhurijan Prabhu makes a point, and he says that unless the student is surrendered to the teacher, transmission of knowledge doesn't happen. Those of you, does anybody here teach? Anybody here a teacher? Okay. Prana, of course, knows. He's a teacher. Upa teacher. So this point that there has to be there has to be surrender by the student to the teacher. Of course, very difficult to find these days. Right? Where I live in Hong Kong, I teach because that's the only way they can stay there. So sometimes you have students who are very enthusiastic to learn, and sometimes you have students who are really, really don't want to be there, and they really let you know that they don't want to be there, and they behave in such a way that all you really do is it's just entertainment for them, or class discipline or something. There's very little transmission of knowledge happens. The history that we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam are often, well, primarily exchanges between a teacher and a student. And different themes have been cobbled together, and that's what we have as the Srimad Bhagavatam. So different points are covered here. And this particular verse is very nice because it explains how the student feels after he's received knowledge from the teacher. There's a sense of great appreciation. And that works very well for the teacher as well. If the teacher spent time teaching the student, and then the student says, "Oh, that was really great, you know, I really loved that,"
you know, I'm so happy. Teacher feels good as well. He feels that, yeah, I did a good job. This person got it. So that's what we're reading here. So he says, I've been very fortunate to have been instructed by you. Of course, these are great personalities, and to hear from them would undoubtedly be a wonderful experience. But that's not to say that in this modern day and age that we live, that they're also not great teachers, that they're also, that transmission of knowledge can't happen the same way. You know, just like we're sitting here, and these histories of Srimad Bhagavatam probably happened thousands of years ago. Perhaps people were more purified, had better samskaras. But nevertheless, there was the same process was going on. Right? Same process was going on. Just like no matter where you go in the world, people are all doing pretty much the same thing. They all think that they have their culture. They all think that the way that they do things is special. I don't know if in Australia people think that, but in some parts of the world, people are very proud of it. You know, for example, in India, people think, "Oh yes, you know, this is how we do it here in India." And maybe you go to Europe, and people think, "Yeah, this is how we do it in Europe." And you know, you don't understand because you don't understand our culture. China people, they always say to me, you know, in China we have our own culture, you know, this is how we do things. But basically everybody does the same thing and everybody thinks the same thing about themselves. In Australia they just think, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just thinking. There's very little development of culture because it's, I don't know, the environment is just not the same. So the principle of transmission of knowledge and the principle of oral reception by the student is very important. And through that oral reception, it enters into the heart. Of course, in the beginning of creation, we find that Brahma, he also receives his instructions through the heart. It says, Tini Brahma Ridaye Cha Adikavaye. He gets his instructions from the heart. And then with his intelligence that becomes manifested through that interaction with Krishna, he creates the whole world. He creates the universe. He creates all the different living entities. And in that process of creation, or the process of doing his service, he also evolves. He also makes advancement. Often we read that Brahma, just like it said in the beginning, there was ignorance created from the shoulders of Brahma. And then, you know, we read that story of Brahma being chased by his sons. And then we read about there's different parts of the Bhagavatam where it says that Brahma gave up his body. But Prabhupada explains he didn't actually give up his body, he just shed his consciousness. So the same thing is there, that as we are performing our devotional service, hopefully there's a change of consciousness. Hopefully we start to give up the different types of anartas and the different types of desires that we may have had and become purified, so that when we serve Krishna, we do it in a purified way. And here, in this discussion, Srila Prabhupada in the purport makes the point that when a person comes to that saintly platform or saintly persons, what do they like to do? Is they like to create saintly persons from others as well. That's what they like to do. Just like parents have children, they try to instruct the children in the same things that they're doing, isn't it? You can see often, especially in India, you know, the children are imitating what the parents are doing. I remember before I became a devotee, I was living in Delhi, and I was looking out the window, and there was this restaurant downstairs, and there was a, you know, the man was cooking, and then the little boy would come, and he would try to cook as well. And the man was making chapatis by hand, and the kid was trying to copy him. And so it's very natural for the children to want to imitate their parents. So in association with saintly persons, others also see the qualities of that person. They also try to, in one sense, imitate that person. That's the principle of association, that when you have an association with a saintly person, you think, I'd like to be like that person. I'd like to have the good qualities that person's displaying. And we notice perhaps, oh, I would have got angry. He didn't get angry. This person, he did things like this. Maybe I would have done it differently, but this was very good. I'd like to... We try to emulate the good behavior of others. It's not just in spiritual life, but it could be somebody going to a rock concert, you know, and the person's up on stage and everybody's trying to imitate that person. So that idea of wanting to follow others is just in the human DNA. We want to follow somebody who's perfect. We're looking ultimately for that perfection in others. So the oral reception here, what is it leading to? It's leading to a realization by the student. And that's a good test that the teacher was effective, that the student actually has some realization. And it's also a testimony to the teacher, because unless you have realization, it's difficult to explain that to others. So here we find that his realization is, oh, I want to also make others saintly. And the whole process of our Krishna consciousness movement really is about that. It's about trying to change the consciousness of the world's misdirected civilization. Because most people are misguided. Most people's consciousness is, well, from our own experience, we know what it was, or what it perhaps still is, or what we perhaps would like it to be. That's generally the prayer of a devotee, isn't it? You think, oh, gee, I wish I wasn't like this. I wish I could be better. I could, right? So when we come together in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we get the opportunity to take association from persons who perhaps have better qualities than us, who have a better consciousness. And by associating, by serving, by learning that process, so that process, Krishna, we all know that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadviti Pranipati Napati Prishnaya Seva Upadakshantiti Gyanam Gyaninas Tatvadarshina, that there's a process of surrender, a process of inquiry, a process of service. And through that, a relationship is built. And in that relationship, the teacher reveals to the student what he can do according to his nature to become purified. Each one of us has this idea that we're an individual. Right? We all think that I'm unique. We have unique tastes. We have unique desires. Of course, those devotees who've been on Sankirtan, they know that pretty much everybody always says the same thing, chooses the same thing. It's very hard to find people who are really that unique. I remember when we used to sell paintings door to door. You knew what people were going to choose. There was just people's taste is pretty bad. There's no discounting bad taste in people. I'm sure you can find it as well, right, in your shop. People always, they think this is meant for me. But actually everybody chooses the same from a specific set of things. Everybody chooses the same thing. So the living entity really has, although we're all individual and although we're all unique, actually, our uniqueness only comes out in service. That's where our uniqueness comes out, in our ability to surrender to Krishna and to do something for Krishna. That's where you can express your unique nature, because it's your independence, your choice to do something in a way that you feel pleases God. That experience, that feeling of reciprocation, is what gives pleasure to the living entity. It gives him conviction and gives him the determination to continue on that path. So here when Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kadama Muni, he was very much favored. He felt very special. All of us want to feel special, isn't it? Right? We always try to find somebody, you know, meet the Swami or meet some great person, and if that person says something to us or acknowledges us or smiles at us, then we feel special. We're looking for that special reciprocation. And ultimately, we're looking for Krishna to smile upon us. Right? We're waiting one day to wake up and Krishna's talking to you and Krishna's interacting with you, and that's what we're hoping for, isn't it? Are you hoping for that? What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for, Kalia?
Don't ask me.
What about you, Yadu? Got a plan? Or are we just doing our service? Is that what we're doing? Just duty bound? Is that what we're doing? What's your realization on that? Comfortable. That's a good point. Yeah. We feel comfortable. That's a good point. We find our comfort zone, right? We feel comfortable with certain people. Even in Krishna consciousness, there are all different types of people. They can all be devotees, but we also feel comfortable with certain types of people. Because we all have, just like Prabhupada says here, there are different departments. Some people can go in the deity department, some can go in the cooking department. And he was even thinking of Krishna Rupa, and he said some people can go into the editing department. Isn't that amazing? Huh? So the different desires of the living entities can be expressed in service to Krishna. And I think that's really one of the most attractive things about Krishna consciousness, that you can do what you're good at, or you can do what you'd like to do for Krishna. It's not that everybody has to do the same thing. Of course, everybody has to chant 16 rounds every day and follow the principles and practice the process of sadhana bhakti. But within that, there's a huge variety of different activities to do. And in those activities, we ourselves can feel fulfilled and happy. We can feel comfortable, and we can feel Krishna's reciprocation. When you do your service to Krishna, there's a point where you feel, yeah, I did something right. Somehow Krishna appreciated this. And that gives you great satisfaction, gives you great happiness. So, of course, we'll read on here that Manu is going to offer some dakshina also. That's why this chapter is called The Marriage of Katama Muni and Devahuti. He felt also that there should be some exchange, some token of appreciation. Traditionally, I was reading in the 17 and 1800s, teachers were not paid. They basically lived on the donations of their students. And if the teacher was good, then they would be, you know, they would have many students, and many students meant good pay. And if you were teaching something that wasn't really that interesting, then you wouldn't have that many students. And in turn, you wouldn't get much pay. So, it can be sometimes difficult because we think that, well, who will listen? Who will listen to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam? There are only a few people. In Melbourne, there's only a few people interested. Sometimes you may think, well, maybe I should teach something else, something that's more popular. Maybe I'll teach yoga, or maybe I'll do a business seminar, or maybe I'll talk about how to be happy or something, and maybe I'll get more people that way, and then that way I'll get a bit of remuneration. But actually the teacher never thinks like that. The teacher's not thinking, oh, I'm going to give this instruction and I'm going to get lots of money. just like in China, whenever you do a seminar, you preach, and at the end of the seminar, devotees always come. They've got a red envelope with some money in it, and you know, this way you live. But if you start thinking, oh, okay, there's 50 people here today, and I'm going to do really well, you know, then your whole mentality as a teacher changes. It becomes contaminated with some desire. So teaching means to give people Krishna consciousness, to repeat the message of Srimad Bhagavatam without any desire, without any idea that there's going to be somebody giving you some money or that you're going to give perfection or glory or whatever. Manu received instructions just in a pure way, and therefore he felt very satisfied. He didn't feel that, oh, he's giving me something and there's some exchange. It's like we read some other stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam of teachers who are very much motivated in their instructions by their material gain. Can somebody think of somebody? Sukracharya, right? And with? Huh? Sundar and Amarka, yeah. They were definitely very motivated, right? But they were also motivated by fear of their master in some stage, right? That their boss said, you know, my son's learning something. He's not meant to learn that. If you don't teach him the right thing, you know, then I'm going to punish you. Right? Sukracharya, of course, he was worried about what? He's worried about his material situation. So this topic is, you could say, is at the core of our Krishna consciousness. This is the, you know, the core philosophy, this transmission of knowledge, oral hearing process from a teacher and a student. Isn't it? This is the very essence. So the in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also makes another point. And he says that this combination, the instructions of the spiritual master and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple, makes the entire process perfect. So that's what's required for this to all work. Sometimes you hear devotees say, well, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for X amount of years and, you know, I've still got desires and I've still got, you know, I'm still... Krishna's not peeking out from behind the bush at me yet, and you know, when's that going to happen? Does this process really work? But it often comes down to our own application to this very same principle, that perfect execution and a perfect reciprocation. It's interesting because we know that Srila Prabhupada had that own experience with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, and that he was very fond of quoting this statement by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this Vyavasatmika Buddhi, that this adherence to the instruction of the spiritual master, that verse was pretty much Prabhupada's driving force, you could say. Huh?
His mantra.
His mantra, yeah. That was definitely Prabhupada's mantra, isn't it? Because that was his own experience, and he, from his own experience, he knew this is what has made me successful. Even though I don't know anything, but I did what my guru said, and because I did that, you know, I've got some success. So that was his mantra also to his disciples. And if we can understand all these points and apply them, and as he says, this will make one's life successful. A simple message, actually. It's a simple message. It doesn't take much brain power to understand this, but the difficulty often lies in the application. So that application we need to learn from association. So that combination is what will give fruit to this instruction from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm going to read this translation again, see if there are any questions. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favour has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I've listened with open ears to your pure words. Any comments, questions? Yes.
So you were saying now, constant periods, especially because we can engage in Krishna service according to our natural propensities, and we're engaged like that, spiritual engaged. But in the beginning, it's sometimes we're just asked to do whatever's necessary. We may feel uncomfortable because we're not naturally suited for that. So what's that all about?
What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean,
that's sometimes the questions that new devotees often ask. it generally takes a while for us to become a little bit purified. You know, in the beginning, the water's very murky. It's very muddy. And although we may think that we're good at something, or we may think that this is what I want to do, the process of surrender and the just like in the, give you another mundane example, it's like when a person goes to the army. In the beginning, they just learn really basic things, you know, how to get up, how to follow orders, the main thing they learn is how to follow orders without question, because in an army, that's the key, that people will do what they're told to do. So, in one sense, in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, we become molded, I guess, to learning to hear instructions and to follow instructions without material calculations entering into it. In the beginning, our idea of doing what we'd like to do is generally just based on sense gratification or a deep sense gratification. And generally speaking, we don't really know how to listen properly. So in the beginning, that process is—it's like an induction process, induction period. Although we've never really, in Krishna consciousness, had like a formal induction program. You know, like when you go to a company, or you know, say you become an air hostess or something like that, you learn how to do everything, and everybody can work together because everybody's been trained in the same way. So, I see that in the future of Krishna consciousness, everybody's going to go through that. Some sort of formal process of induction where their own desires are put aside for some time while they learn the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. And part of that is doing as you're told. And then, because that's also part of becoming purified, not so much for disciplining a person, but to give a person some basic purification as well. So all of that is part of the process. And after some time, Krishna does give you the opportunity to do what you want to do and express yourself. So it's just a matter of being a little bit patient, understanding that there's a process of purification, and Krishna will definitely reciprocate with you and give you the opportunity to play your guitar when you want to.
Proper human
Well, you see that. You see some devotees who've spent their life just arguing. And even after 20 or 30 years, they're still in that mode because, as Ajit says, that foundation of being able to hear properly never took place. So I think that answers that point Venugopal Prabhu also made, that why should we do those things? It's because it gives you a foundation in your spiritual life, and then you can build on that. And without building on that, it's difficult to grow in a productive way. Revolution, huh?
Revolution in your heart, is what you said.
I think we've practically experienced that with some people, haven't we? Yes, what did you? Well, any devotee, actually. So quiet. Any other questions or comments? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh, for a minute.